Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
On this Monday morning, the birthday or anniversary or whatever of Star Trek, the original Star Trek. Remember that? Captain Kirk, Bones, Spock, Scotty. Grew up watching Star Trek, and as it turns out, I mostly grew up watching Star Trek reruns because it only ran 3 years. Did you know that? I didn't know. Star Trek only had three seasons. The original Star Trek only ran from 1966 to 1969. They, in that time, recorded, I think it was 79 episodes. 79 episodes in 3 years. And yet, if you think about the impact of Star Trek, Star Wars, not talking Luke Skywalker and those guys, I'm talking Captain Kirk and those guys, the impact it had on pop culture, on everyone's lives, on, I could say something like, live long and prosper, and you would know exactly what I'm talking about, where it comes from, right? Or that was, you know, Spock would hold his fingers up, just split between the ring finger and the middle finger, live long and prosper. Yeah. Not Nanu Nanu, this is more committee. Live long and prosper, right? Captain, I haven't got enough power, you know, Scotty. Captain Kirk and his halting delivery, William Shatner. Oh, yeah. That's all part of Americana, right? I mean, we are Star Trek. It's part of who we are. I'm going to play this little piece. This is from our news, our wire.
Today is the day to flash the Vulcan sign. That is, if you can, there's a large number of people who can't because it requires specific manual dexterity to separate hand muscles to form a V pattern. Even some actors on the show couldn't do it. Actor Zachary Quinto used super glue to hold his fingers in position. So today, live long and prosper and flash that Vulcan salute as a nod to its creator, Leonard Nimoy. That is, if you can. I'm Bree Tennis.
You know, it's interesting, the reality of it. So Star Trek 66 to 69, I was born in 66. So there's no way I watched it live when it was on first run. I'm not sure how long it was in reruns. And, of course, it was syndication for decades after that. But, yeah, Star Trek, I'm actually technically too young for Star Trek, right? I mean, for its live run anyway. And then the fact that it only ran three seasons. I was under the maybe common misconception that Star Trek ran, you know, for eight seasons or something. But Jack Lancaster, by the way, is with me here this morning. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Doing okay? Yeah, he just ran up the stairs. So,
yeah, it was traffic today.
Yeah, no, sorry. I understand. We're just talking about Star Trek a little bit, and I was marveling at the fact that, first of all, it became such a part of who we are, and yet there were only 79 episodes. There was only three seasons,
right, the original,
of this show.
That's right.
I didn't realize that until I got reading up on it today.
They had reruns here in St. George. I remember coming home from school.
Yeah.
And I could watch an hour of Star Trek at 4 o'clock on Channel 4.
Really?
And then at 5 o'clock on Channel 3 out of Las Vegas.
So you watched
2 hours a night. Yeah.
Nice.
I did that for like years.
Do you have this? I know this is a kind of out of the blue question. Do you have a favorite episode? Was there one that sticks out in your mind of all the Star Trek?
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. There's the one with Joan Collins called City on the Edge of Forever.
Hmm.
And it's where Kirk and Spock and McCoy go back in time to Earth of the 1930s, and Kirk inadvertently prevents the death of Edith Keeler, who was the character that somehow prevented America entering World War II and allowed the Nazis to develop the nuclear bomb first.
Oh, wow.
So then McCoy comes through later because he was he got injected with this something that made him crazy for a while, and he ended up, Kirk had to watch Edith Keeler die after he fell in love with her. Of course, Kirk fell in love with all the women.
Yeah, he did. Or they fell in love with him, one or the other.
But it was mostly set in 1930s America. Which was really cool.
Yeah. I do remember that. One of them I liked, Trouble with Tribbles. Everybody liked that.
That was an obviously good one. Right.
It was a precursor to like Gremlins and some of those with the controlled birth rate of some of these.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think there's actually a lot. But the original series is my favorite, by the way. So
now I'm trying to think. I can't name them all, I don't think, but there were so many spin-offs. There was Next Generation.
The first one was Deep Space Nine. The next one after that was Voyager.
Right.
And those were all within the Next Generation universe and in the timeline. You know, so you had contemporary. You know, Worf, the character of Worf went over to Deep Space Nine. So did O'Brien.
Okay. Well, you know way more about it than I do already.
Yeah, but Voyager, they didn't have any of those crossover characters because they ended up getting taken over to the Delta Quadrant, which is the other side of the galaxy. Even in the Star Trek universe, traveling at Warp 9, it would take you 100 years to go across the galaxy.
Wow.
Or 150 years.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So that's how big the galaxy is.
You are a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, I'm kind of a geek on that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Did you have in any of the original or sequels or whatever you call them, the spinoffs, a favorite character? Was it Kirk?
There one? Of course.
Everybody loved Kirk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirk was awesome.
Kirk.
I really liked Bones, Dr. McCoy.
Yeah. He's sarcastic. Was pretty
cool. And then Scotty with all of his,
yeah.
We haven't got enough power, you know.
Yeah.
My poor parents.
Yeah.
So, what about Next Generation? Picard was great.
Picard was excellent. I really love Next Generation too because again it was different, but it was also true to the whole Star Trek theme. And you know, Gene Roddenberry, who created the original Star Trek, he was the original executive producer for Next Generation. So his stamp on everything. So everything in the Star Trek universe that was good had a morality play behind it. There was also the story of good versus evil.
Television used to be back in the day. There was always a good message.
So when you had that morality play, then you also had really good character development. And you always had, like, Next Generation had some really, really good episodes where, for example, there was a character that came in at the first one called Q. Mm-hmm. And Q was an all-powerful entity.
Yeah,
that
almost
was a godlike entity and could snap his fingers and do anything, you know, literally. And he became human because the Q continuum sentenced him to become human.
Ooh.
And Picard didn't believe him at first, but then he gave Data the task of escorting Q around the ship and doing whatever so to keep him out of trouble and also teach him how to become more human. Now, that's funny right there, is Data the android
was teaching how to become human.
A fallen god how to become human. So that was actually really cool because what was cool about Data is you had a character that would look at humanity from an outsider's point of view. And he was always trying to become more like a human. Which I thought was always interesting because a human was his creator, and so his ultimate goal was to become like his creator.
Yeah, like
I thought that was a good.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but think about that. Humanity's ultimate goal is to become more like their creator.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice. I like the I can't remember the actor's name that played Data. Do you remember it off the top?
Brent Spiner. Yeah,
Brent Spiner. Anyway, he played he was the kind of the anti-Data. He was the scientist with the crazy scientist with the long hair in one of my favorite movies, Independence Day.
Right.
And actually ended up getting killed by an alien.
Well, he didn't. If you saw the sequel, they put him in a coma.
Oh, I thought he was dead.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
He got possessed, I guess, anyway, by the.
Yeah.
By the,
he got choked out.
Aliens,
But he's a good actor. And of course, Data was his ultimate role.
There's a sequel to Independence Day, by the way.
Independence Day 2, yeah. That was good.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why.
Wow.
Really is not as good.
I did not know that. Yeah. I guess it must have come out a few years after the first, or was it one of those that was 2 decades
five
later?
5 or 10 years later,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know how long ago it was. But they couldn't get anybody from the original except for Jeff Goldblum. He did a little bit in it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and Bill Pullman did
it. I thought it was Jurassic Parking at it.
That
time.
But Bill Pullman was in it a little bit.
Okay.
But none of it. It was
great. Great speech, by the way. Pullman, the president.
That was good.
Everyone's independent. You know,
But, it wasn't as good. So,
I'm back.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, happy birthday.
Yes.
So I guess Star Trek would be, if it was debuted in 66, would be the same age as me. It'd be 59 years old.
Okay. Awesome.
So that's kind of cool.
And I remember watching it when I lived in Las Vegas on black and white TV and not understanding it. Because one of the complaints was originally was that it was too cerebral.
Yeah.
You know, for the audience. Yeah. And then they moved it around. So they moved it from, Tuesday night and Wednesday night at 7 or 8. They moved it to Friday in the last season. That's what killed the series because the young men that were watching the show
Busy Friday night.
Well, on Friday nights, they're out on their dates, you know. So that's why it only went three seasons because NBC moved it around.
Well, and NBC was never very happy with it because it cost so much to produce.
Right.
That was one of their complaints was, we spend more money making this and it's not.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you know Star Trek never made it to number one in the ratings? It got to number four.
Yeah, once. Desilu Studios got behind it, which was Lucille Ball,
right?
And then Paramount picked it up after that for the production, but it was airing on NBC, which is when Gene Roddenberry wanted to do Next Generation. He didn't want to go with the network. He didn't trust the network to keep their word, so they went with an independent thing. It just went directly into syndication. So all the independent TV stations that didn't exist at the time in the 60s. Then in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s, there was a bunch of independent TV stations, and they picked them up in syndication, and that's why it was able to flourish, I think, 8 or 9 years.
As far as greatest episodes, I think maybe my favorite might be Shore Leave, where they go to the planet, and unbeknownst to them at first, all their whatever they would think about.
Whatever they're thinking about shows up. Like
Finnegan.
Finnegan, which was Captain Kirk's nemesis back when he was in the Academy. They were thinking of Alice in Wonderland and the giant bunny and all of that. And of course, the tiger. So.
I believe in that episode, is it Spock or Bones that gets actually killed?
Bones gets killed because he's defending the life of... trying to remember, he gets shot or something.
Yeah, six gun, old west type stuff.
And he didn't believe it that it was actually real because it couldn't. You know, who would do this? And turns out the aliens built this planet so that their species could have a place to recreate.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that was one of the first episodes that they wrote. They actually wrote two pilots. One was the Cage, which was end up being the two-parter with the previous captain, Christopher Pike.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was turned out to be a two-parter later. But then this one was the other pilot or an earlier episode. But they were writing the scenes on the set.
Really?
Yeah. So they were gone on location to film while they still hadn't had a finished script. And Roddenberry was writing the scenes. Amazing. The whole thing. Yeah.
Amazing. Television history for sure. All right. Let me go over a couple of news stories from this weekend. This one is, we're trying hard to make our roads. I think it's a good thing. Make our roads bike, car, and pedestrian friendly. But big fail this weekend out on SR 18. A jogger was killed by a car. This happened on Saturday afternoon. I don't know why you would be jogging in the 90 whatever degree heat, but it happened 12:30 Saturday afternoon. They actually called Life Flight, but before Life Flight could even get there, the man was pronounced dead.
Where was it? Where was it near?
Near the Ledges exit.
Oh, okay.
And about SR18.
That's
there.
Like 4-lane highway up there now.
Yeah,
they probably have a jogging path, right?
They probably. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Or a bike path.
Yeah. And then the St. George Police asking help because kids gas dirt bikes and electric Surons are riding around golf courses in the area and tearing up the greens with their bikes and stuff.
Can't have that.
And, I mean, you know.
Guys, golf courses are like national parks in southern Utah. You got to treat them with respect.
Yeah. I mean, we all want to go, kids will be kids, but this is, I mean, come on. You can do stuff without.
Now, if you want to go fishing on the golf course at night, that's one thing.
Yeah, or collect golf balls. You know, go diving for. We used to do that when we were kids.
Yeah,
go diving
fishing on the ponds
and sell them and stuff like that. But that's kind of crossing a line there. A guy jumped off of the second story of a houseboat in Lake Powell, and I don't know if the jump knocked him out or whatever, but he never resurfaced and he ended up passing away.
Tragedy.
Yeah. They sentenced a couple of guys to murder up in Cedar City for killing Kaylee Dutton. One guy got 40 years before parole and the other got 20. Not sure exactly who did what on that, but that seems the 20 before he can be paroled seems a little light for murder, but
seems
maybe,
light.
Maybe he wasn't the trigger man. The other guy got 40, so maybe he was the trigger man.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's about it. They are having a big celebration. Not celebration. I don't know what the word is, Jack. The commemoration, I guess, for 9/11 on Thursday here in town.
Oh, commemoration would be a better word. Yeah.
And they'll have bagpipes. One of the guys that was in one of the towers will be there. Let's see if I can find his name. Where did it go?
This is in Hurricane?
No, this is in St. George.
Oh, in
downtown,
St. George?
Historic downtown St. George on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Keynote address. Oh, here we go. From 9/11 survivor Victor Guzman, whose office was on the 85th floor of the first tower. That was
Oh, my gosh.
And he survived it. So, and Mayor Randall says it's a chance to reflect on the tragedy and thank our current first responders for putting their lives on the line.
Yeah.
And nothing brings that home more than what happened in Tremont a couple of weeks ago. Two officers responding to what they figure is an everyday routine domestic, and they get gunned down and killed.
Yeah.
So,
very sad.
I've been telling everybody about this. The book festival next week in Cedar City.
Okay.
They're going to have, so if you're an aspiring author or just a bookworm, they're going to have author panels, workshops, book markets, and special sessions with students and seniors at the Southern Utah Book Festival, second one.
Okay.
I don't remember hearing about it last year, but that's kind of exciting.
Second annual. Well, it must have been a good one last year.
I was reading up on this, the amount of people that read for pleasure is down to less than 10% of Americans read because they don't have to. They just like to read a book.
Everybody watches videos now on their phones.
Do you still read, Jack? Do you pick up a book occasionally?
No.
No?
I actually buy books, but I don't read them.
Oh, really?
The last three books I bought, I haven't really. And I don't read. I don't buy novels. I buy like
nonfiction.
Yeah, nonfiction books. And then I don't read them from first to be, you know, I just go through and whatever catches my attention, like a chapter heading or a section, I'll read that and then I'll bounce around.
So you won't necessarily go cover to cover kind of read. Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I don't read as much as I used to, but it's interesting. I occasionally have authors on here. And my reading a lot of times consists of, hey, you got an author on Monday's show. Here's the book on Friday, and I got 700 pages to read in 3 days.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's almost like cramming for a test. So that's most of the kind of reading. Although I am a big Clive Cussler fan. I don't know if you've read any of his stuff.
I've heard of his
really cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's like going to a movie, only better because you get more details.
Yeah.
But of course, you have to.
What's his genres? Is it
action thriller type stuff?
Is it like spy stuff or?
Well, for a while, his main guy was a guy by the name of Dirk Pitt, and he was kind of a James Bond type. He actually worked for the Ocean, whatever the fictitious Oceanic group, but he always ended up in some kind of very serious life, world-saving sometimes situation. He was also a pilot, and he liked classic cars and all the stuff us dudes.
Typical Renaissance man.
Yeah,
all the stuff we wish we could do all of.
I don't often go to St. George, but when I do, but I don't know when you think about that. To say we don't read books is one thing. To say we don't read, I think, is not true because a lot of us do read. In fact, I would say I read more than I ever have online. I read a lot of websites, a lot of stuff that I wouldn't normally have read, say, 10 years ago.
Right.
I'm out there reading. I know you do that too. Like when you say you don't read books, well, you don't probably read books, but you do read a lot.
Yeah, I read articles. Yeah.
And that actually leads me to, we only have 2 minutes. Maybe I'll just introduce this and then we'll not really get rolling on it. But there was a poll, Pew Research did a poll. Now I'm not going to be able to find it right on the fly like this. But basically, they were talking about the greatest fears of Americans. They did a poll. What do you fear the most? What is the biggest thing that you fear right now? I have the top three in my head right now without looking at the article. Do you know what they are?
Yes,
what they might be.
Death?
No, well, yeah, but how? I mean, the greatest fear of what might happen to the world.
World War III?
Nope, didn't make the list.
Asteroid impact?
Nope, didn't make the list.
Another pandemic like COVID?
No, didn't make the list. The number one fear, this is interesting to me, number one fear of Americans is misinformation online, of getting told there's a war, getting told there's a meteor, and believing it even though it's not really true. That was their biggest fear.
Weird. I don't know if I believe
it. No, Pew Research, it was number one.
Misinformation?
Yeah, because what they're thinking is, what do you hear about the liberals? What do the liberals hear about conservatives? And a lot of what you hear is really way out there.
Yeah, but all you got to do is listen to watch CNN, and okay, then you know what they're thinking.
Which is an established,
but it's hard
liberal.
To do. It's like work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just spend some time over on their networks or listen to read their op-eds or whatever, and you get an idea what they're thinking.
I wish I could find. I'm going to find it during the break here and give you some actual numbers.
I've got a bunch of buddies. I got a couple of buddies on my Facebook page that post that are quite left. And so I got a real good idea what they're thinking.
Nice.
And I don't block them because I want to understand how the other side thinks from me.
Well, you know what was number two, speaking of the other side?
Yeah.
Number two biggest fear of Americans is the global climate change.
Oh, my gosh.
That's number two.
See, this is fake news. This whole thing is.
What are you talking about?
Because
It's a survey. It's not.
It's because if you get a bunch of people that say, you know, my biggest fear is misinformation, now a government agency can take a hold of that and say, well, now we got to censor the news. Okay, because we've got to filter it. Remember the last administration? They had a filter czar. They had a what's true and what's fake czar. You know, and you know the best. To me, and now you have global climate change. Well, I just saw, I couldn't cite it, but I saw one of these polls, and like climate change was number 10 on people's worry list behind inflation, behind, you know, economics, behind.
I found it, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, spread of false information online.
Yeah.
Number two, the global climate change, terrorism. Is up there.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
I can see that.
The condition of the global economy. So, you're talking about money there. And then the spread of infectious diseases was five. And that's one of them you had mentioned. Which, you know, 4 years ago, that would have been number one, right? Four or five years ago, that would have been number one. But
that climate change, I don't believe it.
I just.
All you got to do is look at Europe. They're in such a mess. Because they bought into this.
Yeah, they did. Well, and I'm just glad that, so the way it's worded is this, or global climate change, it doesn't say man-made climate change, because I think that would have changed the numbers significantly.
Okay.
You and I both agree there is climate change.
But, you know, do I run the air conditioner an extra week here in the, out of the year? Because it's a little warmer this year. Next year, it won't be.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're in a drought. I mean, what was it, 2 years ago? It was more than enough water.
Well, and 50 years ago, they said we were headed into an ice age.
Well, yeah, in the 70s.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't.
But it's got, our young people are scared of it, are worried about it.
That's why I study this, because I got three daughters. I tell them, do not worry about this.
Yeah.
The world's going to be fine.
World will be fine.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some other fears. Some other stuff I found out on national surveys that were put out there that are a little bit surprising when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we were just talking about it during the break. How many Major League ballparks has Jack been to? We decided you're around five?
Four.
Four?
Four.
Okay, I've been to, I think, five.
Yeah.
But when I do retire, don't know when that's going to be, but when I do, I think it'd be cool to go to all
of them.
So does
the Kansas City Chiefs...
Oh, I've been to the
Kauffman
Stadium in Kansas City.
Do they play... Is that a baseball-football stadium, or is that just a football stadium?
Well, when I went, was back in the 70s, and it was a combo stadium.
Well, last year, my wife and I went to a soccer game at the Kansas City Chiefs Stadium, and I don't know if that counts.
If you went to soccer, you're automatically minus three.
I know. I know.
Yeah. Okay, we got a text. My biggest fear would be that AI will destroy the human race as
we know it. Yeah, see, AI. And you know, you watch the movie, what was it, The Terminator 2, and you think, you're thinking, oh, crap, or Matrix, you know. Yeah.
I hope.
Skynet.
It's weird. I hope all that's someone's imagination, but AI is scary. I mean, I keep getting these stories on the wire. There was one, they did a scenario, only a scenario. They didn't do it like actual in real life, but they had tasked AI with accomplishing this purpose, and then they had tasked a fictional, digital, hypothetical man that was in the way of AI accomplishing this task it was given. And ultimately, AI had to kill the man to get the task accomplished. That's scary right there.
That's what it said it needed to do.
Yeah.
And
it did do whatever you do to accomplish this task. And it had to kill the man to finish the task.
So, okay.
Wow.
Well, it has no conscience. It just does its ones and zeros, guys.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're going to get it to rule our lives. That's tell bad. Us what to That's think. Bad.
Somebody said, yeah, I'm polite to my Roomba just in case someday it will remember me. You know, I was nice, you know, one of the nice humans. But okay, I have
your filter weekly.
I have some interesting facts for you, Jack. These are all backed. I vetted almost all of these. I've gone to the website that actually did them. Some of them are interesting. Did you know that in the world, five countries make up most 60% of the worldwide spending on military? Five countries.
Okay, hold on. Say that again.
Five countries make up 60% of all the spending on military.
Well, we know what number one is.
United States.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you guess the other four? And here's a big fat hint. One of them is not Russia.
Yeah. So is this per capita or total dollars?
Total dollars.
So is NATO? NATO's not a country.
Nope.
Okay. So I would say China.
China's number two, yep. The three other countries are?
France.
That is number, they're number five. So you got four and three and four you need to still get.
North Korea.
Nope.
Great Britain.
Nope.
Germany.
I was actually surprised by these two. Kind of surprised by one and really surprised by the other.
Okay.
The number four, India. I was kind of surprised a little bit by that, but you got to remember, there's a lot of people.
Okay, which one's missing? Which place is missing? We haven't guessed yet.
Number three. Do you want to know what it is?
Wait. Number three. Let me think. The third most.
This is a country with a lot of money,
like Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
So those five countries spend a combined somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 trillion. No,
but.
$2 trillion on
but military. The U.S. spends more than all of them combined.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
We like well, and for good reason.
I mean, yeah.
And that leads me to another statistic. In 1981, no, 85, 81% people trusted the military.
Uh huh.
They were either moderately trust or completely trust the military.
Yeah.
That number is down now to 51%.
50%, yeah. 51% that makes sense.
Trust the military. Yeah. Interesting. Did you know 2 out of 5 Americans cannot name a single freedom protected by the First Amendment?
2 out of 5 cannot name a single freedom protected by the First Amendment. Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of religion and freedom to peaceably assemble.
Freedom of the press.
Of the press.
And the freedom, the right to petition the government. Those are your five First Amendment.
Right to petition a government for redress of grievances.
Yes. Those and 40% of us can't name even one of them.
Even
those.
One, yeah.
I would think
there's a problem right there,
yeah.
Fellas.
Right. I would think free speech, but everyone should be able to name that, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, you'd think.
Yeah.
You know, fun fact, Britain doesn't have free speech. Did you hear about how they arrested that comedian?
Yeah,
at the airport.
Yeah, give me. I don't know any more details except.
Oh, he made a joke about
some things, right?
He made some tweets that the government didn't like, and of course they arrested him with bobbies with guns.
Wait, bobbies don't have guns.
Well, these
bobbies had guns.
Okay. Yeah, of course he's getting off an airplane, so I'm sure he's armed.
Yeah,
kidding. Seriously. Just kidding.
If he got on an airplane with a gun, then something's real.
Did you know they arrest more people in Great Britain for speech code violations and offensive language than they do in Russia?
Really?
Yes.
In Great Britain,
yes.
Which is supposed to be,
it is,
you know,
yeah,
free.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. It is.
It's not free.
No, not at all.
Not even close.
They've actually tried to extradite Americans because they said something that was offensive to them.
Hmm. Bring him to Britain?
Yes.
Bring him from here to
yes.
there? Because
mm-hmm.
they didn't like what we said.
Yeah.
So if I said something nasty about Britain right now.
It's possible.
Well, you just said Britain, it's not free there.
No.
They're going to come get you. They're going to
say, well, no, that's okay. Jobs. It's just that I can't say something against their protected classes.
Oh. Like their food stinks? How about that?
They're gays and they're trans and they're they're immigrants.
All right. Okay, more surprising statistic. Did you know that more people attend the movies than come to attend theme parks and sports games combined?
That surprises me these days.
It's a true fact.
These days, that surprises
more
me.
More people go to the movie than go to...
So am I going to movies less because I'm older or because movies suck now?
Or is it because you can get most of them at home on Netflix or whatever?
Okay. But I guess I remember in my 20s and 30s, going to the movie in a teenager, it was a cool thing.
Okay.
And even when VHS came out, because you had to wait like 6 months for the movie to hit VHS.
Right.
But now the movies, is it because I'm older or is it because the movies are dumber?
Okay, well, look at it this way. When's the last time you saw a really good movie?
I don't know.
Went to the theater and came, man, that was good.
Yeah.
You can't think of one? Lately?
Well, we went and saw the one about the guys that were, it had the Jack Reacher guy in it and the guy that played Superman in it. And they were British and they were going after, See, I can't even think of the name of it.
Yeah. I saw a movie called Bonhoeffer. It was really good. It was about a guy who was a priest when Hitler started taking over and decreed that Hitler must be worshipped as well as God. And he was like, and most of the priests went along with it because they were scared of Hitler. But he was like, no, this isn't right. We're not doing this. And he got...
Where did this come out?
A year ago.
Bonhoeffer?
Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer.
Sounds like a movie I like to see.
You would like that movie.
Yeah.
It was good. He ended up actually getting hanged or getting executed for it.
So was he in occupied Germany?
Yeah.
Or at the time?
And he was one of the few priests that stood up to Hitler
and said,
no, we're not doing
that. Yeah, he wasn't going to last.
So.
Wow.
Good movie. I didn't pay for it. I had free passes to go see it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an interesting one, Jack, and I don't know, being guys, if we have a good perspective on this, but on an average day, only 19% of American men do housework as compared to 49% of American women.
Not in my house.
No, you do housework?
I think I do more than half.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't do more. I do some, but I don't do more than half.
I do most of the laundry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laundry. I do. So in my house, growing, when we had kids at home, we don't anymore. I was Mr. Mom. I stayed home. I changed diapers, did all that stuff. I cooked. But I hated doing things like dishes and laundry. Now, we taught the kids to do their own laundry earlier.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to clean clothes, you're doing it. You know?
Uh-huh.
I never loved doing the dishes or laundry. And so I still, to this day, have a hard time with it.
Yeah, I have a hard time doing dishes, but I still do. I do dishes maybe half the time.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
And you do laundry all the time?
Not all, like 80%.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Way to go, Jack.
Thank you.
So you would not be one of the 19%.
I would be in the 19%. Yeah.
So average day, 19% men do housework. Average day, I would say, yes, I do some housework every day. So I would also be in the 19%.
Yeah.
But I don't do like the majority of it.
Yeah.
I don't do more than my wife, not even close.
Yeah.
So.
Do you count yard work as housework?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't know if they do in this poll, but I would for sure.
You know, like pulling the weeds and cutting the grass, things like that. Taking the garbage out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nearly half of all American adults will experience mental illness during
the lifetime. The one that waters the plants.
Really?
Yes.
They would be dead if not for you.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
What about mental illness?
What about it?
Half of all Americans experience some form of mental illness.
I believe that. Yeah, I believe that.
I guess my question would be, and the poll didn't specify what mental illness, but my question would be, what does that mean? What mental illness? I mean,
probably some form of anxiety or.
But we all get anxiety. That's not a mental illness. I mean,
depression.
If it rules your life, yes. But
there's a level of anxiety that's going to cross the threshold. Probably.
Crippling. People come in here and do this show.
Yeah.
And I can see the anxiety on their face. They're nervous. They're tense. Yeah. Now, I've been doing this show long enough.
You just need to tell them that this is like the best audience in Southern Utah. And the folks out there that are listening are the smartest group of people in Southern Utah. And that they're here to hopefully learn a little something, to participate in the voice of Southern Utah, and to listen to the man, the myth, the legend, the Andy.
And Jack. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we're talking some surprising statistics today, and I've got Jack. But before we get back to those, here are some texts. Let's see. Anxiety before talking on the show is not mental illness.
That's true. That's more of a healthy response because it's such a magnificent opportunity to be here.
Also, my first fear would be that AI will destroy the human race as we know it.
Can't we just unplug it before it gets crazy?
Yeah, well, and then...
Pull the damn plug.
It will kill you as you're trying to unplug it. Or something. I don't know.
How? Who installs the laser beam in the control room is what I want to know.
Climate change is not one of mine proves how the education system and media has been compromised by the world elitists.
Yes, 100% nice. True.
Here's one for you, Jack. I'm a stay-at-home dad. I do 95% of the housework. Uh-huh. I feel guilty if I wasn't doing the housework since I don't work.
Yeah.
Also, I hate watering plants.
Yeah.
Is Jack available for hire?
No, sorry, buddy. Just got to put a reminder in your phone once a week. Give the plants a good drink of water and you'll be fine.
My wife says she
has... Make it a routine. Every Sunday after church, come home. Get the little bucket out.
Yeah, my wife says she has a brown thumb. I said, a brown thumb? She says, yeah, I can kill anything record time. So, all right, here's some interesting stats for you. Over the past century, Michael has been the most popular name 44 out of 100 years in the last century in the United States.
Okay.
Michael.
Yeah, there's a lot of mics out there.
A lot of mics, yeah. The global rate, this one's gross, for washing hands after using the toilet is under 20%.
Is that a global rate?
Global rate, yes.
Well, that makes sense if it's a global rate.
Under 20%. That's kind of disgusting, though.
Okay, kids, those of you listening, wash your hands, use the towel to open the door. This is one thing. We went to Europe last year, to England and Scotland. They don't have paper towels in the bathrooms there, in the public bathrooms. They have the blow dryers.
Right, right.
Yeah, none of them had paper towels. None of them.
Blow dryers are fine to get your hands dry, although they make them dried out. But how do you get out?
Exactly.
Use your foot?
Exactly. I had to use my foot or my pinky finger on my left hand. Mm. You know.
So everybody, don't shake Jack's left hand and touch the pinky finger.
No. Don't ever do that. That's the bad one. But wash your hands and use a paper towel to get out. Dang it.
This is gross, but my son went to the Philippines on a mission.
Yeah. Oh, that's gross right there.
No. They don't have toilet paper there.
No.
He said, you never, ever, ever shake a Filipino's left hand because that's what they use is their left hand.
So this was really weird. A couple of years ago, I took the family to Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. They had bathrooms up there, like at Old Faithful Geyser and a few other of the pull-out locations that were Asian friendly.
What does that mean?
That means instead of a toilet, literally they had a hole in the floor.
Oh, my brother went to Japan on a mission. They don't have toilets you sit on. They have
squat
holes in the
over a hole in the floor. Yeah, that's what they had there.
And that's why they're so good at squatting, I guess.
Yes, they have less back problems than we do.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, couple more for you real quick. The average drunk driver drives under the influence more than 80 times before being arrested for the first time.
Yeah, I believe that.
Unbelievable. It's sad.
Yeah.
And the average, this is my statistic because I did a story on this. The average drunk driver who gets arrested 10 times before he kills somebody. By the 10th one, he has killed someone.
Huh.
Sad.
Interesting.
Okay. And then this one is for my sweet wife. When we got married, she had a stuffed animal, a frog, that she had slept with every day of her life. I don't remember the name of the frog, but she had a frog. She would snuggle with the frog.
Yeah.
So one-third of all adults in America sleep with a comfort object.
Does that include an extra pillow?
I don't think so.
Okay.
A pillow is a pillow, right? It's not a comfort object.
Yeah.
I'd like to think my comfort object is my wife, right?
Well, yeah.
But I don't
Good answer, Andy.
I don't think that counts. I think they're talking about stuffed animals.
Okay.
I did have, when I was a youngster, I had a dog, a little stuffed dog.
Uh-huh.
And his name was Pup. I know that's a stupid name, but I named him when I was like five.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And his name was Pup. And my mom had made him. She made this little brown fuzzy stuffed dog named Pup. I always wonder sometimes whatever happened to Pup. I think when I was maybe 12 or something, my parents took him and put him away.
And you didn't miss him one or two nights in a row and you forgot?
Yeah, I didn't notice. And then I was like, he's gone. I wonder what happened. But they never did fess up.
Huh.
Should ask my dad. My dad's still around.
He was probably.
Dad, wondering. What happened to Pup?
Yeah.
He probably doesn't know either.
Yeah.
He's probably. My dad worked a lot. My dad, he had three jobs most of his life.
Oh, my gosh.
Worked and worked and worked. And it was probably my mom, and I probably needed to grow up and start having Pup in bed with me.
Time to grow up, Andrew.
I guess so. So I wanted to end with that one. We got still 2 minutes left. So a couple of others.
People teach your kids not to be worried about global climate change.
I know.
It's a natural event. It happens all the time. Carbon dioxide is a plant food.
You say that, and yet we still have. It's one of the top worries of all time in right now.
That's because the news sells fear.
They do.
That's all they do is they sell fear. And that's why anxiety rates are so high.
Mm-hmm.
It's because when you watch the news and you scroll through all this crap, it's all about fear. That's all it is.
Sad.
When you look at the world around you, put the phone down and you look at the world around you, it ain't so bad.
Nope.
And people are very nice.
We got 2 minutes. Tell us about Phenomicon. I'm sorry.
So
I tried
my
to
wife
get
and I
past. It didn't work.
Went to Phenomicon over the last weekend. We drove up on Wednesday. We spent the night in Helper Wednesday night, which was a little town outside of Price.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wanted to break up. We got a late start here. And then we got to Phenomicon. I didn't have a ticket because they had sold out. I told her, I says, well, if we don't.
You drove 5 or 6 hours.
To Vernal.
And didn't have a ticket.
Did not have a ticket.
But you got in.
Well, I knew that life happens, right? So we got there. We got a ticket. I got to meet my Finding Bigfoot guy, Cliff Barackman.
Nice.
I got to meet the guys from Skinwalker Ranch. George Norrie was there, you know, the late night guy.
Yeah. Coast to coast.
Yeah, I got pictures with Maria Mayor, who's on Expedition Bigfoot.
Wow.
I got to talk with her for a few minutes. Also got to talk to Jessica Chabot, who's on Expedition X, or was, until last season. And then got to go to all these little conferences and these speakers talking about all the things that are behind the scenes from all the Phenomicon stuff. So it was called Phenomicon. They had Bigfoot stuff. They had Skinwalker Ranch stuff. They had UFO alien stuff. They had Ghost Hunter stuff. So the Ghost Hunter guys were there from the Ghost Hunter show. And that was pretty fascinating. It was actually a really fun thing. I'm definitely going to go next year.
Where is it next year?
Same Vernal. Place? It's at Vernal every year the weekend after Labor Day.
I'm Andy. He's Jack. Jack, thanks for. I wish we'd have given you more time to talk about it. And your shirt, the Bigfoot Lebowski.
The Bigfoot Lebowski.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back
tomorrow.
He's
called the Dude.